Welcome to this week's episode of The Homeschool How-To. I'm Cheryl, and I invite you to join me on my quest to find out, why are people homeschooling? How do you do it? What are the differences in how people homeschool from region to region? And should I homeschool my kids? Stick with me as I unfold the answers to each of these questions week by week. Welcome. With us today, we have Laura from New York. Laura, thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate the time.
So let's start out by having you tell us the how many kids you have and their ages.
Sure. So I have three kids and they're older kids now. I have a 16-year-old, a 17 and a half, and a 20-year-old. So I'm on the other end of the schooling spectrum.
Oh, that is exciting. Now you get to kind of see them embark on the life that they're about to lead. That's really cool. So tell us about your homeschooling experience, kind of where that fell in your journey for you.
Sure. So first, I homeschooled a long time ago when my kids were super young. I think my oldest was about six, and we had moved from one county up to another. It was the middle of the year. I didn't want them to change schools and have to, you know, relearn everything in a different atmosphere, a different environment. So I decided to homeschool all three of them at that time. Now, again, they were about six, four and three, I want to say. And so I started homeschooling using the Calvert program, which was basically a book that's sent to you with all these sorts of lessons. That was for my oldest. And then I pulled from tons and tons of resources for the preschool and the youngest one. And at the time I did that after I went to work, and then I'd come home and homeschool them because they were younger. So it worked out. Now I'm on the other end of the spectrum, and my youngest, I actually started to enroll him into a homeschool program last year, which was the beginning of his ninth grade year. Okay. So, yep. And my other two are on different paths. My oldest has graduated. He was during the whole COVID thing. The school shut down. He ended his schooling remotely for the last 6 months, which worked out perfectly. And my daughter is finishing up her senior year in a traditional brick and mortar because homeschooling wasn't the right path for her. Mm-hmm. So my youngest is full on high school career in a remote homeschooling program. And it's going really well.
And does he seem to like it?
He loves it. So we decided last year, just for some backstory, he finished eighth grade pretty strong, but things were kind of difficult. He wasn't being challenged in school. He was getting really bored. In result to that, the sense of humor would come out in class, and teachers really weren't challenging him enough to my liking. And he also had a huge interest in going to snowboarding school. In addition to that, a lot of the curriculum and beliefs that were being taught in the public school system, we weren't really on board with. And he was definitely very vocal about that, which created some friction. So in result, we looked into a Keystone program, which is an online program. And it has been a saving grace. It has been absolutely wonderful. He went back to enjoying school because he's able to choose the courses that he's interested in. He's working towards a complete high school diploma, but except for it taking 4 years, he's going to be finishing in about two and a half.
Wow.
So yeah, it's really exciting.
So when he decides what courses that he wants to take, this Keystone mm-hmm. program, everything is like online. You're not actually sitting down with him and teaching him, correct?
Nope, that's correct. So what I do when we started this, I started researching tons and tons of different homeschooling programs and options, and whether I taught it, whether it was an online program and you're in a one-to-one situation with the teacher live, or whether it was the curriculum and materials provided. So what works best for him is it's a curriculum, it's a program provided, everything is online. The lessons, the documents, and it's awesome because he has a student portal and I have a parent portal. So I see exactly what he's working on. I see the assignments. The percentage that he has gotten done for the year, for what his grades are. There's teacher teacher emails back and forth with to him, to myself. It is an amazing program. I can't even, I am floored with how well it is going for him. And it's not just the courses that are offered in a traditional high school. He has the ability to choose tons and tons of different courses. And so that way we can choose something that he's really into and what he really enjoys. And it's also not a lot of this stuff at this age is pushing different agendas and political agendas. And that's something we really wanted to get away from. So it's been a blessing for that.
So does he have to do, like, I remember when I was in school, you had to take like 4 years of sciences and you had, you got like five to pick from: biology, chemistry, physics, earth science, and, or maybe you only had to do three out of those. Does he have something rigid like that? Or because he's not doing, I don't know, is he doing a Regents, or how does that work?
So it's a really great question. That's a bit confusing. So New York State requires a Regents or a non-Regents or an alternate assessed sort of diploma. However, this homeschooling program, because it's not based in New York, it provides a student with a diploma. It's not designated as non-Regents, Regents, accelerated. It's designated as a high school diploma. It's accepted anywhere at any college. It's just as beneficial. Yeah, it is just as beneficial, or as New York says, you know, Regents are required. Regents really aren't required, not in a lot of colleges. And in fact, a lot of states are getting away from that. So it's kind of that hush-hush thing. So what we do is we follow this guideline that Keystone provides. They recommend, and for their high school diploma, that you follow this guideline that is very similar to what you said, for sciences. So, however, he doesn't have to take one a year over 4 years. He could take two a year. So if he wants to accelerate it, he can do it that way. Or he can take one during the school year and one over the summer. It doesn't have to be 7 a.m. till 2 p.m, Monday through Friday. So he has such flexibility. That's how he's finishing in two and a half years, because he's taken multiple courses. So they, for example, they say four Englishes. He's taken English 9, 10, and then in addition, he's taken journalism and grammar and grammar and something with writing, but courses that will really benefit him. For electives, they don't have just the traditional ones that are offered in our schools, but he has the ability to take something like restaurant management. He took that, career in finance. All of these skills that aren't always available, especially in the smaller schools, which is where we live in a very remote area. And a lot of these extra curricular activities or extra classes aren't offered. This way, he's able to see all of these different avenues open up to him. You know, restaurant management, for example, he was working also in a restaurant. So then he's able to also see the paper side of it. Hey, this is how they manage things. This is how they do stuff. And then he's going into the restaurant for, it's almost like a field experience. So yeah, it's really cool.
Now, are there any restrictions as far as, you know, when you go to sign up for your class schedule at school with your guidance counselor, it's, oh, sorry, that class is full, or, oh, you'll have to take that at 7 in the morning, or, you know, does, because it's online, is it, if you want to take it, it's available to you. And does he have to sit for with a structured teacher, or can he do it throughout his day at his leisure?
Good question. So it can be done whenever he wants to do it. Yeah. So it's fantastic. The Keystone is really nice because I've spoken to guidance counselors. I've spoken to the teachers and the faculty there, and they will say, oh, it looks like he needs one more social sciences. So he should probably take this, this, or this, and they'll give you an outline of the courses that are available. So then he'll take that and he'll get an outline for the entire year or the first semester if it's broken up into two semesters. And it's great because he can see there's 98 lessons for a whole year program. then he can start doing those lessons at any time. He at his own pace. So he could sit and he could do one a day or five a day and wait for the other class for the next day. What's really worked for him is he has such a great schedule where he gets up early. He does his schoolwork for a couple hours. Then he goes out. He's doing woodworking in our shop. So he enjoys doing that. He's learning. He's using his geometry from last year. He's using all of the math skills, the building skills. Then he'll come back in and he'll work on something else. So it's really at his own time. And if he has questions, he emails the teacher and the teacher emails him back with links with, you know, do you want to meet at some time? Do we need to chat? Do we need to contact? So he's never left alone on his own devices, but it's really at his own pace. And he loves that because he would complain so much in eighth grade saying, I'm so bored. I'm waiting for other students to finish, or they're cutting up and they're being silly. And, you know, we're wasting 20 minutes. So he would get frustrated. So now he is ahead. He can work on things at his own pace and then do things that he enjoys, which is just amazing. The field experiences he's able to do homeschooling is you wouldn't get this in a typical brick and mortar.
Right. So your daughter, she's at school all day. Does she ever look at him and say like, gee, I think I would prefer that? Or is she just really like being the social butterfly?
Well, it's very different. First, she isn't there all day. I feel like every child has their own path. And although the school wanted to put her in a full day program, she only needed 2.5 credits, which is literally 2.5 classes. So I had to kind of battle that tooth and nail because most times school districts will say, nope, they need to be there a full day. And my response to that was, well, I'm not going to waste her time. So she can finish the 2.5 credits and she's also taking a college credit online. So, and she's going to work. My biggest thing is I don't want to waste time. We're not going to give these kids classes that are fluff fillers. So that really works for her. So she goes to school from 12 till 2:15 and then she does her college course and she works as well. So it works for her. She's also very different from my son, where if I were to say, okay, a couple of years ago, you're going to be homeschooled, she didn't have the motivation and the drive to do this herself. She needs that structure. The only downfall is we run into the same sort of classes that are kind of pushing things that we don't typically agree with. But, you know, the alternative would be me trying to push her to do her work. And in high school, it's a little more independent. You have to do this. So it works. So
yeah. And I graduated 20 years ago, but from a city school. And I know like from myself, I do feel as though it was pushed on me, the liberal agenda. I didn't, you know, it was just like conservative side, Republican side, bad. You know, I remember my social, my history teacher, it was during the elections of Bush and Kerry, calling Bush little shrub, you know, so it was just ingrained in us like he's the bad guy. Those are the bad guys. Right. And I, you know, I guess my parents, we grew up in a Democratic family too, and not to make it political or anything, but I'm now that, you know, I kind of see that there are more options and different things when you actually look at bills, look at, it amazes me that even on the news, you turn on the news, they're not telling you what kind of bills are being passed in your area, in your county, in your districts, in your state. That's not on the news. It's not even part of it. You know, it was just a COVID death count, right? Not even a death count, a COVID case count for years. And it's so silly to me thinking there's so much more going on and so many more important things. And it wasn't taught to me in school. And I do feel that an agenda was pushed. And then I went to University at Albany for my last 3 years of college. And I know that they wouldn't even allow the conservative groups to come and do like, you know, group activities on our campus there. It was just told to us that like, no, they're racist. And, but it's, I'm thinking that now of, you'd probably know who it is. I can't even think off the top of my head, but it's someone just, no, it's just the other side. But the college universities wouldn't even allow that. So I guess I didn't know I was being sort of like groomed or pushed in one way until now. And I can't even imagine what's going on in the schools now because my kids are little. They aren't even in it yet. My nephew, I'll ask him different things. And you see things on TikTok. I don't know. Or actually, I was banned from TikTok so, 3 years ago. And I'm still a little bitter. I'm a little bitter about it. But
of course, for the best.
But you see things online and you're like, that's not really going. Like, there's not really trans strippers in libraries at schools with little kids, right? Like, I don't know. I don't know what to believe anymore.
It is very eye-opening. I'm also, I come from the other side where I'm a teacher and I'm in a lot of the schools. And I actually made a change just last year, changing from one school to a different school. And the school I was at is the school where my daughter goes. So it was quite the conflict, seeing a lot of the stuff that was being pushed, the agenda that's being pushed, and working there and having children there. And that was a huge determining factor for me to change where I was working, but also being so happy and comfortable with my decision to keep my youngest in this homeschool program, because he's very vocal, as is my daughter, and respectfully so. But it's just not as acceptable if you're not jumping on the bandwagon of different things out there these days. With, if you're not agreeing with it, and you're pushed back and you're kind of isolated and questioned and banned from things, as you well know. So it's frustrating.
So it's further than just, you know, I mean, do they still say the Pledge of Allegiance or?
They did last year when I was there. But that it wouldn't surprise me if they've gotten away from that. But a lot of my core values and morals and what I've taught my children were being questioned. And I don't think our schools have the place to do that.
Right.
I really, really feel very strongly about that. And that was a huge concern of mine, deciding to have my son homeschooled as a teacher. Now, how are these administrators going to look at me and how am I going to be viewed? And but I really came to the conclusion after much deep thought and research and praying and faith that I need to do what's right for my family and I, and ultimately this is it. You know, I wish I could have done it for all three of my kids all the way through all the schooling, but unfortunately circumstances were such that I couldn't. I had to go to work, but, I'm concerned for our school system as it goes on with more and more of this happening at such a young age. Now I have kids obviously exiting high school, but it's such a strong concern. And, you know, thank God there's homeschooling options out there, because people like myself or like yourself, if you want something different, you have to do it yourself and you have to be brave enough to do that and kind of be courageous enough to say, okay, whoever questions me can question me, but this is my choice.
Yeah. I think when I look at it as, okay, well, he could go to school and not that we're a huge religious family, but I want that to be part of his life. I want him to have that to fall back on. There will be hard times in his life. And I think, you know, the more I was exposed to it as a child, and I think it's only fair to expose him, and then he can do with it as he wills. But, you know, at least I've given him that foundation. But I can send him to school and he can say, I believe in God, and he'd probably get laughed at and told, we don't talk about that here, by the teacher. But another kid next to him can say, I believe I'm a cat, and they all have to believe with him. And they, you know, you hear about them bringing in litter boxes, and I'm only hoping that is a joke. But I keep hearing it over and over and over, and I'm in the country. So if that's in the country, what is going on in the inner cities, you know, and what kind of mindset are we setting these kids up for? Not for being able to have a self-sustainable lifestyle when they're 20 years old, you know, it's kind of like we're setting them up to fail so that they need the government, so that the government can say, I'll give you a little bit, and but you're going to be under my thumb. It feels that way.
And and the cycle repeats itself. And it's really a shame, because I feel like, you know, part of our job as a teacher, as a mother, as a parent, is to teach our children to be strong and have core values and speak up for what you believe in respectfully. However, it's not often the case that if you don't agree with what the trend is now, that you're going to be accepted. I've seen it with my own children. I've seen it with students. If you have a different belief, if you, for example, I had students who said, I don't believe in this pronoun stuff. You know, what is this? I'm a guy or I'm a girl. But now I'm being made fun of because I don't believe it. And I'm being pulled into the office. And, you know, aren't we teaching our children to have these beliefs and be individuals where we can say our beliefs, even if it's not the proper trend right now?
Yeah, I grew up with a father with severe mental illness, and we all had to believe, like, tiptoe around him and make his life comfortable. And I'm going to tell you, that wasn't healthy for anybody. And it didn't help him either. It didn't lessen his anxiety. He still had it. God bless him. He lived to 80. He just passed away 2 months ago. But and we did get to know a different side of him later on. But he still always had – we had to grow up, like, with crazy things. Germ issues. We couldn't bring money in the house because it had germs on it. We couldn't wear black in the house. I started writing a book on it years ago, and I need to finish that one day. But we had to, like, pretend along with him. And that's just all I keep thinking about when we talk about what's going on in the schools with the furries, or even even today, I think I'm a boy. Well, I mean, do you? Or because I had a tomboy stage, or I wanted to be Ashley Olsen from Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen. A friend of mine was Mary-Kate. I was Ashley. We dress alike. And I remember having the teacher say, like, say, could you call me Ashley? And I don't know whether she did or didn't. Maybe she's like, oh, that's cute. But nobody went along with it seriously.
It's very different now. It's very different. And thank God I have vocal children. My daughter has come home and said, Mom, I got in trouble because I said, you're not this. You are a human and you have these parts and you are a girl. So, and I got in trouble, and I will back them up 100% as long as you speak your mind, you're respectful. But it's just not that way anymore. It's not how I envisioned it being for my children. I'm really concerned for the way the trend school is going, the way, you know, when my children have children, how are they going to be indoctrinated? And I remember that word being so prevalent in my household. My father was like, they're indoctrinating people. And I wasn't quite sure what it meant. You know, I was young, but now I really get it because it's happening. It's happening to my children. So I think homeschooling is a great alternative where I'm able to control what's happening. You know, yes, this is out there. This is out there. This is what we have to, you know, accept that it's part of our world, but this is what we have control over. We can homeschool our kids. We can say no to things we don't necessarily believe in. It's hard, but.
Yeah. And I've thought about that too. Are we putting them in a bubble so that, you know, because you don't want them to be unleashed onto the world at 18 or 22. Right. And they're like, whoa, you're a, like, what is this? It's like a third gender out there. And they're like, we've never even been exposed to this. You have to have where, you know, but this is how we look at it. And I mean, for myself, I accept a lot of things, but I don't accept you pushing it on my kid.
Correct.
That's where let him tell me what he's feeling. Something's different. Let's talk about it. It's like they're removing the parent and going straight to them and putting ideas in heads of children who now are trying to do the trendy thing, the cool thing. You know, it's, and meanwhile, who can like survive on their own when they graduate school. Like who is willing to do the woodworking? Who's willing to do the plumbing, the HVAC stuff, or, you know, these jobs that you watch that show Dirty Jobs, like that's the basis of America. And no one's even willing to do it. And we're telling everyone to be more concerned with, you know, tiptoeing and don't ruffle anyone's feathers. It's like you said before, you're really curious about what's the agenda behind all of it.
Right.
Now, how does your son get socialization? Because you guys are out in the country and he is strictly homeschooled.
And I know that's a huge concern with a lot of people is the socialization aspect. I've never had trouble with that. Even when they were younger and I homeschooled them when they were, you know, six, whatever they were. I brought them to library groups. I brought them to free swim open at the local schools or the Y. I brought them to the park. I brought them to reading groups. I mean, there's so many fillers that you can make happen. And the difference is you're surrounding your kids with people you want them to be surrounded by, not just random people that are kind of, you have no control over. I never saw a problem with it then. Now that my son is homeschooled, I still don't see a problem. He is so involved and he's the most well-rounded child, well, young adult. He walks up to people, you know, and he's a gentleman. He knows his manners. He knows how to conduct business because he's out there working with professionals. You know, he's helping his cousin build a huge building for his business on the side, and he's doing framing and he's dealing with people coming and delivering lumber. And he says, "Mom, I wouldn't learn this in school. I'm learning above." You know, he's learning mechanics, how to cut catalytic converters out. So there's so much, and he's sporty. So he snowboards, he goes to rail jams, woodworking, art classes. There's so many things out there that you can pick and choose what you want your children to be socialized with, who you want them to be around. I don't think that that's a huge concern. I don't think it should be really for anyone because you can make it happen. There's so many resources. You just have to reach out, even on Facebook. You know, it's putting your name out there. Hey, I'm homeschooling. Any ideas where I can go to find a free painting class? And you'll be surprised how many people have ideas and how many things you haven't thought of. It's pretty amazing.
Yes, that's why I started the podcast, because I'm like, there are so many things I haven't even thought of, and let's just hear it all.
Right.
We'll dig through it all one by one. And I had no idea of the program, the Keystone, and I'll put a link for that in the show notes too, so people can check it out. Because I hear a lot of moms saying, I'd love to homeschool, but I work.
Yep. This is a great alternative. And they have the whole curriculum from K through 12.
Really? So kindergarten as well. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
And what is like the monthly or annual cost for something like that?
So it's per course. And I'm just thinking off the top of my head, it might be different for elementary school. I know high school. So I think for the last course we paid, it was $400 for the course. However, if you do a bundle of five classes, you get a discount. And if you do a half a semester or half a credit, so that's one full semester, which would be something like September to January, that's usually about $299. It is reasonable, and they give you a monthly payment plan. So it's a couple hundred bucks. To me, it's invaluable. I mean, it's
pretty much like going to a private school, paying a private school tuition.
Right.
Yep.
Except it's more, you know, individualized for him, because if he wants to take, you know, physics instead of chemistry, he can, which is fantastic. It's not determined for you. So yeah, I think it's a little cheaper than a traditional private or Catholic school. But they make it workable and the discount helps. I think he did his ninth grade year. I think he did like eight or nine classes. So he was able to get a ton done. But yeah, I think it's affordable and I'm on a budget. I have three kids. I'm a single mom, but I can make it work because they also help, you know, here's a discount for this. We're going to let you do it over 10 months. And what also should be noted is you have 1 year to complete the courses. So for example, it's not a school year. It's 365 days from the day you start. Wow. So you can take all that time or you can finish it. I think they have a requirement. You can't finish earlier than 2 or 3 months. I forget what it is that you should take that amount of time. So it's pretty convenient. If you have a child who needs a little bit of a slower pace, or, you know, they're just not feeling it this day and they just can't handle it today, you don't have to stress it because you have all that time to take it, which really works well for us because my son, he wants to go faster. So he does it on the weekends. And when we traditionally have an April break, he's still doing school because he wants to be done. So it works out either way.
Now, do you still have to do reporting for New York for homeschool, mm-hmm. even though you're doing this program?
Yes.
Okay. Can you tell me about the reporting?
Sure. So it's kind of a, it gets a little overwhelming when you're first starting, but it's really not bad. There's a traditional form that you have to fill out that's online, and it goes through your homeschool. So for example, our homeschool is our local district. So I go onto a web page, I click on that district, and then you have to do a homeschool plan. So you're saying, for example, I'm homeschooling my student this year because, we're using Keystone program. These are the courses. And what I do is I just copy and paste the curriculum from their description on their website. And I put that in. That's to begin the year. So then you have to report quarterly, and it goes into this same data webpage, which also then goes to your district. And I never, ever hear anything back from anyone. I think it's just a way that they have their hand in the pot, kind of keeping their finger on the pulse of what you're doing, which is fine. So you have to report quarterly. And that is, what has he done this quarter for this class? So for example, I'd put social sciences, learned about World War II. I cut and paste, and then I say, see initial curriculum sent in, and I put his grade there. So you have to do that for each course, and that's quarterly. So whenever the quarterly comes up, it has to be submitted by that certain date. Again, I've never received, yay, great job, or hey, you're missing this. Not in 2 years now that I've done this, but I do it anyway because, you know, that's
well, it's the one time you forget that they're like on your doorstep stealing your child away. And I get that because mm-hmm. I am sure that there are people out there that just don't send their children to school because of whatever abuse mm-hmm. going on in the home or neglect, right. that sort of thing. So I get it right. that somebody should probably have like a mm-hmm. oversight to make sure children are getting something that they need. So if you're putting in all that, chances are you're not, you know,
right,
crackhead just neglecting him at home. You are trying.
Yeah, I find it funny because I think, you know, somebody should be sending something back, but never.
We received this.
right. And then at the end of the year, what's required by New York State homeschooling and through your district is you have to do a comprehensive test. So that is something that I order through, it's called CAT, California Achievement Test, but you can order various ones. You have choices. What it is basically there's an achievement test that comes to your computer, or you can do handwritten. Your child takes it and then you send it back to them and they say, yay, you did great, or no, you did terrible, and it gets recorded. What happens to that information? I have no idea because nobody has ever questioned it or said anything, but that's required by New York State.
And that's every year?
That's every year, yes.
And starting at what grade? Every grade?
I don't know. I think it's, no, actually, I lie. I think my sister did homeschooling too, and I know she was doing that when they were in elementary school.
Okay.
So unless it has changed, I'm assuming that is probably still required. Okay. But it's just to kind of keep tabs and to say, oh, okay, they're at this level now. Again, never got any results back except for Jonah did great and that was it, but never had any sort of questioning as to anything else.
Okay.
Just one of those requirements.
I spoke with a woman in Georgia and she said it's just once every 3 years they take a test.
Yep.
That's it. So I'm like, oh.
That's right. Perfect. That's even better.
Right.
I'm not quite sure the purpose of this, but... and it's interesting too, because I, when you were just saying, you know, you understand why people have to kind of keep tabs on things because you never know if there's abuse or in the home. But I do remember back when I first did the homeschooling, you know, for a little bit of time, that was something I was worried about because I heard a lot of these horror stories. If you choose to homeschool your kids, CPS can come in because they'll say you're neglecting by not socializing. And it's, you know, it's such a scare tactic. They won because I was scared, but I decided to do it anyway. But so many people feel that way. And it's, you know what? You're not neglecting your child. You're choosing to do something that's alternative and you love your child and it's your child. So if you want to homeschool them and bring them on daily field trips out in the community to learn things hands-on, that's not neglect. So right. I just want to express that, you know, that's oftentimes a scare tactic, but I really don't. It should be clarified.
And I would imagine that in a lot of cases, if there was neglect, something going on like that, there are more things going on The authorities would probably already be involved in one way or another.
Right.
So the lack of submitting homeschooling reporting is probably not going to be their tip off that.
Exactly.
Yeah, I'm sure you're right that it's just to keep a little finger over it. Now, do you have any knowledge about, I've been seeing posts recently that the government wants to offer money to homeschoolers and these big like warnings, like don't take the government's money. They're going to change the bills around and put like a thumb over us even more. Have you had any experience with that?
I haven't. This is the first I've heard about that.
I'll be asking people about that and seeing. But of course, we have to know what bills are even on the table in order to do that. Right. So I am looking forward to kind of doing that stuff with my son because it'll force me to be on top of it. It was never presented to me. I don't even know other than little things here and there, like, oh, let's go see why that law was passed. But I don't even know where to get like a running list of this is what's on the table today. This is what is being voted on. A lot of it for me, I think I'm looking forward to learning if that's the way we decide to go. I have not registered him for kindergarten with the school yet. So I feel like this is the path that's like good for us, but I still have my job I'm supposed to go back to after maternity leave is up. So I don't know. Got to figure some things out.
There's a lot of different options out there. And you know, it's one of those things, you know, when you know, if you feel in your gut, it's right, you can make it work. It may not be the ideal situation and you may have to make some sacrifices, but somehow it's that faith, I think, in myself and my kids that if that's what's right for you, follow your gut. And I don't know. I just have a very strong feeling for, you know, following your heart, following what's right for you and your family, even if it's not accepted by everyone else out there.
Right. And I'm sure you've seen a drastic difference from when you started homeschooling your kids to now homeschooling your kids. Mm-hmm. I mean, is it day and night?
It is. I have to say the happiness in my son, I was so concerned about him because he had a drive for learning. And then in eighth grade, I saw this just a very dim light. I was really worried about him. He was unhappy going to school, and that's not him. It's just not. He's just such a happy-go-lucky. He is such an old soul, and it wasn't shining through anymore. The moment that we made this decision and, you know, he and I were on board and I said, look, this is how we're going to do it. We actually wrote up a contract together. You know, this is what your expectations are. This is what my expectations are. He also went away to snowboarding school. So he was in Vermont for a couple months. He'd come home every weekend, but he was responsible to do this schoolwork. So we signed the whole contract and he was so happy. He was so happy with the independence. He was happy with what he was learning. He was socializing constantly because he was living in a house with other kids his age and adult supervision, but also responsible for his own schooling and his own learning path. So he was so much happier. That was the biggest change I saw. And he had that drive again, you know, like, I want to learn. I want to do these things. So that was the biggest thing. And I just feel like he's much more well-rounded because of it. He's had experiences that he could not have done if he was in a traditional school.
Yeah, I didn't even know that snowboarding school existed. But yeah, that is pretty, cool.
It is. So,
oh wow.
Yep. Up in Vermont.
But even as far as resources to homeschool, mm-hmm. I mean, this Keystone, I'm sure, wasn't available when the kids were little, was it? How program is? Got to be fairly recent.
I don't remember. And like I said, then I just used the paper stuff. I was used to the paper stuff. Yeah. I knew how to do that. You do it, you send it in. I was comfortable with that. Now everything is so technologically driven. And I'm much more comfortable with it. And that's what my kids do. They don't want to sit with a book and paper anymore. Mm-hmm. They are on this. Mm-hmm. So it works out really well. I feel like I've also advanced as a parent because I know how to do this stuff. I know how to look up what he's doing. And, also as a teacher point of view, but it works. It just works for him. It's one of those things that just clicked.
Yeah. And I think with the homeschooling community, from the little bit that I've exposed myself, I feel like sometimes I can get overwhelmed with it because they are so outdoorsy, generally speaking, mm-hmm. and creative and finding new innovative ways for their children to learn, which mm-hmm. is fantastic. But it's a lot of pressure to have on your shoulders when you have no experience. And I'm not even 2 years in a row now, St. Patrick's Day has come and gone, and I'll see people being like, yeah, I put the green color, food coloring in the toilet. So the leprechaun peed in there. I'm like, what? That's a thing? Darn it.
I can't.
I didn't grow up that way. But we definitely didn't live in a creative household.
You're fine.
We were worrying about the leprechaun's not bringing in black, right?
Is he bringing
in money? There's germs on that. No, but, so it's a lot of pressure when you kind of immerse yourself in the homeschooling community because parents are being, and I don't know if it's them. I don't know. It's probably a combination of things. You have the whole Facebook, Pinterest life where people do try to one up the next person. Is that what is really going on? Let's learn math, and you go outside and you're counting sticks, and that is fantastic. But to do it for 10 months, if that's how you're doing, it's, mm-hmm. it's like, I would imagine after 2 weeks, you'd run out of things outside to account, and it'd be raining and cold, and you're like, I just want to sit inside. So I think that's been a little bit hard for me. Can I even do the homeschooling because they are so crafty and I don't think I can keep up with it. But then you're showing another side where it's mm-hmm. on the computer. Mm-hmm. I mean, they would be sitting at a desk in school. This is sitting at a computer. That is how life goes these days. And your son can finish up in a couple hours, I guess, and get outside and go to snowboarding school.
And do what he wants to do. Right. Mm-hmm. And I think with anything, there's extremes. There's the super creative homeschooling, earthy, crunchy, and that's great. And that's what works for them. There's also the other extreme where we're sitting, we're just doing paperwork and that's okay too. Whatever. I think every child learns differently. So if that going out and counting those sticks one day works and the next day they're inside coloring a number page, that's okay.
Yeah.
I think society puts a lot of pressure on us as mom and as teachers in general, as parents in general, saying, oh, can you do all this? But you are doing it. You're raising these cute little human beings and you're already doing the work. You are giving them the love. That's number one that they need. You're showing them kindness and compassion and empathy. You're already doing it. Now it's just, exploring a little bit further, showing them how to read, but you're already doing that now. You're reading to them at night, right? I mean, all of these things you're doing, it's just a little bit further. And I think if you want it to work, if that's the path that's right for you and your family or anyone's family, somehow you'll make it work. Maybe it's not going to be in a traditional 180 days a year. Maybe it's going to be 250. That's okay. It's okay. Yeah. It works. I think anyone can do it if they want it, if that's the path that's right.
Right. And that's the thing too. When I talked to Julie out in California, she works at Transitioning Families from the public school life to the homeschool life after they were like because of the passing of SB 277, where they took the religious exemption away for the vaccines. And she was like, I talked to so many parents who are bitter and angry. They never wanted to homeschool. It was never part of their plan. And now they're forced to do it. And it's very unfortunate. But and even they're doing it, and not to say that, you know, that's good or bad. It's just it's unfortunate that, that it's happening, that people, you know, so it's doable.
It's yes.
If you even want to, then you can make it work.
I think that's the biggest thing. I think you have to have that desire for one reason or another to make it work. It should be somewhat enjoyable, you know, at a young age anyway. And I'm really hands off at this point because it's high school and I do have a full-time job, and but he's responsible. He can do it. When they were younger, it would have been different. But I do feel like that's really a sad situation with being forced to. Now that's a whole other extreme. And
exactly.
Again, that goes to how our society is going these days. And it's unfortunate that they're being forced to do such a thing.
Yeah, well, and I got kicked out of that group last night on Facebook, banned on TikTok, kicked out of the group. But what
that's how you know you're doing a great job.
I hope so. But yeah, I shared this podcast in a group, a Facebook group, and you know they had said, "Oh, is she an anti-vaxxer?" And I said, "No, my 4-year-old is fully vaccinated." And before I got to explain myself, I was kicked out of the group. But what I do want parents to know, like, it doesn't matter whether you do vaccinate or don't vaccinate. Right. It's important that you know there are states removing the personal and religious exemption. There's 5 states right now that's removed. So if your child does not get every single vaccine that the state says they have to have, they cannot go to school there. So I just want parents to be aware of that, because when I was talking to the woman in Georgia, Ashley, she had said, I feel like it's coming down the pipeline. You know, it's not going to be long before it works its way to every state. But if parents are aware that that is one of the bills on the table getting passed, and again, that goes into, we should have been taught in school where to find these bills. What's the steps in Congress that it needs to take? Right. Who's voting on it? Who should we vote for? Like, what elections are we putting these people in those seats to? You know, I don't know any of that stuff. So as long as people are aware that 5 states now have removed the right for a parent to say, I only want certain vaccines, or I don't want any. So it could be more and more. So we should all just keep an eye out. And even if you're fine with all the shots on the schedule right now, that's okay. But there might be a president or a governor coming in the future that you don't like putting a vaccine on there that you don't agree with. So it really doesn't matter if you're okay with it or not. It just matters that you have the choice. You're the parent. Right. You have the choice what gets put in your child's body. And I think that's the biggest thing we should really be concerned with. And if that makes them say I'm an anti-vaxxer for this, whatever. But I just think parents should have the choice.
Yes, I agree. And you know what? It also, to go a step further, if a child gets older and they say, you know what, I want that vaccine, that's their choice then. They need to be educated in that. The first step is, though, we need to ask questions, because we're so, as a community, we just take for granted, okay, what people are telling me is right. What the news is telling me is right. That's not always the case. You need to ask questions, because they are, I mean, my children, they're my whole life. They're my whole world. And I'm going to question everything, even if someone thinks I'm crazy. But not only does it affect them now going into elementary school, middle school, high school, it's also on the college aspect too, because now we're being faced with this. If my daughter decides to go to college, there's a lot of colleges that require all the vaccines, including the COVID vaccine.
Right.
And if you don't believe in that, you can't attend.
And it's important to know that the COVID shot is now on the CDC schedule.
Yes.
That was passed. Yes, it is on there. So I don't think people are aware of that, because these bills slip through, and they slip through in what's called an omnibus bill, where there are many things getting passed and lobbyists saying, you know, you have to sign this because you, you know, I helped you out here and I'm trying to get this passed. And they might not read the entire thing, or it's worded in such a way. I mean, these people, these politicians are just people like you and I, you know.
They're not experts.
Scientists, you know, scientists and doctors and experts in everything that's getting put on the bill. So they do slip through, and it's important that we're aware of this stuff.
Absolutely. And it can trickle down to the smallest thing, even down to say your child isn't vaccinated fully or doesn't, you don't believe in the COVID vaccine. Now you can't attend a school, a college. However, you go the virtual option. Well, guess what? A lot of these colleges now say, even if you're virtual, you need all these vaccines.
Wow.
Now, I think that is absolutely insane. You're in your own home, you're paying tuition, but you still can't attend.
Right.
So that's something that parents really need to know that's out there, and it's affecting everything.
Yeah.
So it's important we question things, because it's getting more and more out of hand.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And when you think of books like, you know, Dumbing Us Down and those sort of things, it's like it, if it's not all planned by design like this, it happened very conveniently, you know, like all of these things coming out. Meanwhile, they're taking out the cursive in school. Well, that's what our founding fathers wrote our, you know, documents in. So now we got people that can't read the original documents there. And, you know, we're taking out other things like the trades from school. Basic life skills, sewing, cooking.
How to file taxes, how to fill out a job application. These are crucial social skills, daily living skills. We need to be productive members of society. And if we're not teaching that, where's it going? And that's where the dumbing down comes in.
Yeah. It's very interesting. Well, thank you so, so much for introducing us to Keystone. What is the full name of that website?
Keystone School. Yep.
Keystone School. And I will put a link to that in. I think that is going to save so many parents, especially parents that just, you know, we saw COVID happen, and who's to say something like that can't happen again?
Absolutely.
You know, to even just have in the back of their mind, oh, this exists, or you know, maybe people listening to this podcast are already homeschooling, but they have a friend who, you know, is struggling. Well, hey, there's this option.
And absolutely,
the more information we have, the more we are armed and have better choices for our families. So
I
really enjoyed this talk with you today, Laura. Thank you so
much.
Me
too. Thank you so much. I'm so proud of this podcast you're doing, and I wish you the best of luck in everything. I know you're going to do a great job, whatever choice you make.
Oh, thank you. All right. Bye-bye.
Good to see you.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of The Homeschool How-To. If you've enjoyed what you heard, please consider helping me out by sharing this podcast with friends, with your homeschool community, and even to your favorite homeschool group Facebook page. As a new podcast, we're really trying to get our episodes out there so that we can keep going. Also, if you'd like to be a guest on the show and tell us about your homeschooling experience, email me at thehomeschoolhowto@gmail.com or visit thehomeschoolhowto.com and send me a message through Facebook or Instagram. Thank you for your time and for your love of the next generation. We'll see you next week.